at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 and 9 and 17. The way we've laid out the book of Hebrews 11 is kind of in 17 different studies. And so tonight we'll cover verses 8, 9, and 17. And then next week we'll pick up Sarah and her laughing. Then we'll come back to Abraham. So trying to keep it really in something that you can kind of understand. From verse 8 all the way through verse 19 is really the story about Abraham and Sarah. They take about one-third of Hebrews chapter 11. And so the Holy Spirit places a tremendous emphasis on Abraham, his life of faith. And of course, we see him as the father of faith. We see him as that great example of faith, that he was willing to sacrifice his only son Isaac. But what we sometimes fail to realize is that our great example of faith had some moments that were not too bright. And we're going to look at those tonight. But one of the incredible things is the progressiveness of faith, how God is willing to work and start in your life. And faith has to have a beginning. And as you begin to walk with God, He's going to give you things to do. And you're not going to do them all the time the way He wants. But because of that, He's not going to give up on you. He's called you, therefore, He's going to enable you, and He's going to work with your weakness. And when it's all said and done, you're going to come to a point in your life that you're willing to offer your Isaac. But it doesn't happen overnight. And so when you see people who are willing to give their life, or people that are willing to see their loved ones taken and trust God, it wasn't always that way with them. There's those moments that we begin to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord. And so tonight, Abraham, we've taken a look at Hebrews chapter 11 in verses 1 through 3, some of the interesting facts about faith. And then we took a look at worship and the life of Abel. And then we took a look at the life of walking by faith and the life of Enoch. And then last week we looked at Noah, how he worked for the Lord for 120 years. And tonight we want to take a look at faith which obeys. And I think that's the key, obeying the things that God speaks to you. And so the faith of Abraham has been called the Columbus of faith. So in verse 8, 9, and 17, and I would encourage you later on to read all the way down through verse 19. By faith, Abraham, his name used to be called Abram, you remember, in Genesis chapter 12. And then when he became the father of faith, it was lengthened to Abraham. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should afterwards receive for an inheritance, he was to leave that area of Ur and go into the land of Canaan, cross over the sea, the sea, and once again occupy the river, I should say, and go into the land, obeyed. He went out not knowing whether he went. And so he just took the promises of God. No map, no direction, no idea where in the world he was going. But he believed in God. And then in verse 9, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. And so they never built, they never dwelt, they lived in tents. And we see how they were always able to move. They never tied themselves down. They never bought in. In fact, when he died, the only thing that he had was a cave. And so material things were not important to him, though I believe he was probably the most wealthiest man on the earth at that time. But he was willing to listen to God, and he was willing to move for God. And we find in verse 17, the ultimate goal, by faith. And so underline in verse 8, by faith. And then in verse 9, underline by faith. And then in verse 17, underline by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. Now Isaac, we believe, was around 34 years old at this time. He was a grown man. He gave up his life willing to be sacrificed. Wasn't a child. He was a grown man. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son. And the promise was very simple, that Isaac, through him, would come the nations. And so Abraham understood that if God killed him, he would have to resurrect him. So Abraham believed in the resurrection before the resurrection even happened. So here was an interesting man that God made. One moment he's a heathen in a far country, and one day God chose him and said, "You are going to be my man." And God begins to work with this man, and through him, he now becomes that chosen nation. And he now begins to set the example and go back to the very simple principles of faith. When God spoke, he listened. When God directed, he moved. And when God told him to sacrifice, he did. Very, very simple and yet very profound in some ways. And so there's a faith that starts in verse 8. And then there's a faith that sojourns in verse 9. And then there's a faith that sacrifices in verse 17. And that's what I want to share with you tonight. And I pray that it's very encouraging to you. That your faith must start somewhere. No matter where you've been, what you've been through, how long you've been walking with God, there always comes a time that God begins to tap you on the shoulder. Speak to your heart. It was Enoch, you remember, that he was 65 years old, and then he started to walk with God. So we believe that when he had Methuselah, which means when he is dead, it shall be sent. He lived to be 969 years old, one old puppy, one great old man. But Methuselah, when he died, then the flood came. But it says that at 65, he wasn't walking, but then we believe through the birth of his son, he began to walk with God, and God took him because of his testimony that he pleased God. Here we have Abraham, 75, living in this heathen culture. Probably no concept of God, maybe some because he's the descendant of Shem. And probably had some, but by that ninth generation, things were pretty much destroyed. He was living in idolatry, and God told him to leave. And God begins to work with him, and it wasn't always simple. And God said, "Leave your relatives and follow me." And he took his dad, and he also took his nephew. And you remember his nephew Lot. What tragic things happened because he took Lot. Much like Moses, when God said, "Moses, you are going to deliver the people of God." And Moses took Aaron. And Aaron became more of a hindrance. And even Abraham's father, his name means to slow down. And so it really hindered. And it wasn't until Abraham's father died that he crossed over and really came into the promised land. So there's always that tendency that when God speaks, I want to take a little bit of the flesh with me. And God was patient, and God worked, and one day it all came together. So we want to look at these things tonight. How faith begins to start in your life. It can start once again. You can walk away and be discouraged and not live by faith. And there's only two ways to live your life. One is by sight, and one is by faith. One is believing in the invisible God, that he is behind all things, in all things, moves in all things. And the other is you're only going to believe what you can see and change and control. One way you're going to be unhappy and upset. The other way you're going to be blessed out of your mind. One is going to be contrary to your mind. One is going to be contrary even to your will. And so God is going to ask things of you that does not make sense. He's going to ask you to love when you're really angry and forgive when you really have a right to be uptight. He's going to ask you to walk a second mile when you really shouldn't have to walk a second mile with that person. And he's going to have you oftentimes go where you really don't want to go. And speak the very things that you really don't think you have inside of you. God is going to challenge you. He's going to arrest you. He's going to bring you to himself. And then he's going to challenge you. He's going to try you. Because faith has to be tested. And for some reason, we think that when we come to Christ, that's it. We have passed the test. It's only the beginning. He brought you out of the world that he might bring you into Christ. And the problem is we've come out of the world, but we stay where we are. We don't take that final step. And so we are beaten constantly by the enemy and by God. And so we live right by this fence. And we live as close as we can to the world. And we live just enough away from the devil to where we think God's happy. And so Satan beats us and the Holy Spirit's pulling us. And this poor tree's being beaten to death. The war is going on inside. And one moment I want to serve him. The next moment I'm uptight. And there's this inner battle going on in my own heart, my mind. Instead of just going all the way into Christ and get away from the fence and sell out, we say, well, I don't know. And that's the problem. We want to be obedient to God, but there's a little bit or a whole bunch of our flesh that we really don't trust God. So we have to hear what he wants, make sure what he wants us to do, but we just can't go and trust God in what he's doing. But we can trust God when we hop in the car and turn the key on. And we can trust God when we eat a Taco Bell. And we can trust God when we have that espresso at some place that we don't even know what they have inside. And we can trust God when all of a sudden we get married to a person we really don't know. And we can trust God when we give somebody our credit card over the internet. But when it comes to trusting God, well, you know something? I don't know. And God's willing to work with you, but ultimately your faith has to start. And so either you're going to live by faith or you're going to live by feelings. And most of the body, I would have to say, probably 60-70% live by feelings. When I don't feel good, I don't want to go to church. When I don't feel good, I don't want to read my Bible. I want to be obedient to God no matter how I feel. I want to love people no matter what I'm going through. And the great example that God gave to me in my own personal life is there upon the cross, he was able to forgive. And there upon the cross, he was able to build a relationship. Mary, here's your son. Son, here's Mary. In other words, he was able to build relationship in the midst of pain. And he was willing to forgive in the midst of being tormented. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so it tells me the possibility of me going through tremendous agony and still being true to God. And so it has nothing to do with the way I feel. It has everything to do with what I believe. And so it doesn't make a difference what's going on in my life. It makes all the difference if I desire to take God at his word and be a blessing. And so our greatest danger, I think, is basically taking our eyes off of God. And so I just want to say this one thing. Where we look determines how we live. Where I look determines how I live. It was Eve that took her eyes off of God and put her eyes on that fruit. And it determined the outcome of her life that her and Adam were now going to be dealt with because of her disobedience to God. But she looked where she shouldn't have looked. So that look determined her outcome. It was Peter, you remember, that took his eyes off of God, and Peter looked at the wave, and it determined the outcome of him sinking. It was the very same thing with Abraham. He looked at the famine, and therefore he chose to go down to Egypt, where he got himself in trouble, because the look determined the outcome. So Paul tells me to put my eyes on Christ. To never take my eyes off of the one that I love. to look and behold him. And if I look at my husband, it's going to determine my outcome. I'm going to be bummed. If I look at my children, or I look at the job, or I look at the church, it's going to determine the outcome. But if I look to Christ, it will never do anything except bring me closer to Jesus Christ. And oftentimes, the great enemy of your life will be, very simply, going a different direction. And it won't be so much disobedience as just a detour. And sometimes detours are kind of fun. They're kind of old roads that take you outside the highway, but the Bible declares you're to get on this road and go because that's your goal, and you get detoured because this looks nice. Well, I feel that we could do this. And it's that detour that gets you in trouble. It's the distraction that wipes you out. It wasn't that the innkeeper was wrong. He was just too busy. And so the distractions in our life. So when God spoke very simply to this man, there were no distractions in his life. And so that's the first point. Faith has to start. And we find that here very simply in verse 8. It goes on to declare, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place where he should afterwards receive an inheritance, obeyed. So Abraham, in spite of everything going on in his life, when God spoke to him, he simply obeyed. He didn't say to God, well, you know, Ur is a really nice place. And it was. Very distinguished, very wealthy place. Many believe that even Abraham then was pretty wealthy. It was filled with idolatry and immorality. Everything was happening, but it didn't stop him. And you see, the only thing that stops me from moving towards God are distractions. Well, you know, I'd have to give up that girl because she's not Christian. And, you know, if I really want to start walking with God, I need to deal with this issue. You're right. Or if I really want to start walking with God, I'm going to have to start reading my Bible. Yeah, you're right. Well, those are kind of obstacles and distractions in my life. And I'm kind of heading this way. And I want to build my life and get this thing together and do all these things. Well, that's wonderful. That's what most of the world does. But you see, when God reaches into your life and begins to speak to you, nothing at that moment counts except one thing. Your obedience to God. And so you might be going down this road and things going tremendously well, and yet some reason God is tapping you on the shoulder and you know what He wants you to do and it will cost you. But I guarantee you that somewhere you have to start. And so God will challenge you and you will begin to go that direction. You'll begin to read your Bible and you'll begin to put this aside and begin to kind of start praying, and you're going to have moments where you go back and forth, but you can't quit because God spoke. And all I know is that God spoke, and I live my life on what God said. And when all of a sudden you live your life for everything else except what God spoke, it means you're living outside of Christ. I remember the day God spoke to my heart about my wife. It was a day I'll never forget. There's your wife. No. No, God, no. And there she was. She was across the pool, and she had this big old happy smile face on her sweatshirt. I remember it vividly. I remember the little dimple in her nose when she smiles. If you get her smiling, she has this little dimple in her nose like the Polish people have, this little dimple right there, little cute little nose. And I could see it all the way across the pool. And God said, there's your wife. And I said, no. No, but I knew. I knew that that was her. And she looked and she's like an angel. Little piece of heaven. There she was. Well, through the years, that little piece of heaven comes and goes. And through the years, you know, this knight in shining armor comes and goes. And through the years, we got busy and distracted, and I'm doing my thing, and she's doing hers, and all of a sudden we don't eat together, we don't see each other, we're crossing in the freeways. I mean, on cell phones, I'm coming home, I'm going to church, and it's wonderful, but all of a sudden you realize what happened. And we have our moments like anybody else, but when we sit down and talk, we always know that God put us together. And so we have to change some priorities. And we have to fix some things that maybe I'm not working on, or I'm not trying hard enough, or vice versa. But leaving or anger or any of that stuff is not even part of the equation, because God spoke. And same with ministry. There are days that I want to leave and just go find something else to do, but what am I going to do? And there are moments the pressure becomes so great, but I know without a shadow of a doubt that God's spoken. There are moments I'd rather do something else, but I'd rather be in this pulpit than anything else in my life. Not because I am prideful, but just I just know this is where God wants me. I feel more peace here than any place in my life. But what happens when all these things happen? And yes, it's hard, but God spoke that day, 1970, when I hit the ground and this hand touched my heart and it was like burning fire, and I heard this voice in my heart saying, I've called you to teach. And no matter how bad it's been, I just know that I know that I know that God spoke. Now, what has God spoken to you? You say, well, he has spoken, then you need to start. Well, what do you mean? Then you need to head towards God. You need to be obedient towards God. If he's telling you to love your children, that means you need to love your children. That means you need to call them. You need to say hi to them. You need to write them a letter. You need to head towards that direction. Well, I don't want to. Then you don't want to be obedient. Well, no, that's not it. Did God speak? Yes, then you have to head. Well, I don't want to. Then you're disobedient. You see, when God speaks, it sets it in motion. And at that point, it's not the church, and it's not somebody else, and it's not the United States, and it's not Germany. It's you and God, because you know in your heart what God's been speaking to you. Well, Steve, how do I get there? I know that God wants me to live for him pure. Then you need to head towards holiness. How do I do that? You need to open your Bible. You need to say no to that internet. You need to say yes to the things of God. You need to head that way. Well, how do I do it? You just need to head that way. And yes, Satan's going to take you. And yes, Satan's going to come after you. And yes, Satan's going to discourage you. But God's spoken, and Satan's nothing. God's everything in your life. And at that moment, God is more important than humanity or the world. You got to be obedient to God. You see, that's what faith is all about. And the moment you are, then everything comes to play. Well, where are you going to take me? It's not important. Where am I going to go? It's not important. What am I going to do? It's not important. That's all pride. I got to know what I'm going to do. I got to know what position. No, you don't. God said to Philip, go. And Philip went. What's Philip doing? He left 3,000. What is he doing now? Standing by himself in the middle of the desert. Does it make sense? No. Well, my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. As high as the heavens are from the earth, my ways are from your ways, saith the Lord. Okay, Lord, I get it. But he went. Now that he's in the desert, he's running to be obedient to the things of God. So it doesn't make a difference. If he's in the desert, he's going to run. If he's in the will of God, he's going to run. As long as he knows that God has spoken, he can go with strength. And I believe the voice of God gives you the strength to make it through a day. I really do. In fact, the verse comes to my mind. The joy of the Lord is what? Our strength. Well, I don't want to do what God wants. Then be bummed out and be discouraged and have no energy. But boy, when you do what God wants you to do, faithfully, as best as you can in your situation, that's all that God wants. Now, God knew that he was going to take his father, and God knew he was going to take his nephew, but that's okay. God knew when it was all said and done, his dad would die and his nephew would have his city burned up, and God would have Abraham by himself. When Lot was out of the picture, God said to Abraham, look to the north, the south, the east, the west, it's all yours. It wasn't until God got rid of everybody that God could give him what he wanted. But God was patient. And God's patient with you. He'll take you down this journey, down this road, willing to leave. And that's all I want to say. Are you willing to start? Are you willing to leave? What are you willing to leave? It might be the dope, it might be the sex, it might be this. You've got to be willing to leave. If God's calling, it means He's taking you out. What's He taking you out of? What you're in. Well, then I'm willing to leave it. Willing to leave, and faith listens. Notice in Genesis 12, 1. Now the Lord said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. Is that very clear? Is that very clear, isn't it? And then notice in verse 2, and I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless thee that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And then in Genesis 12:4, so Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abraham was 75 years old and departed out of Haran. But from Ur to Haran he took his father. Interesting. So on the journey, the father died. Came to Haran, and God began to speak once again. And so he looked, he stepped out, and the first element is always faith. So number one tonight, I don't know where you're at. I don't know if you're a banker, an executive, or a secretary, or whatever you might be tonight. It doesn't make a difference. If God is speaking to you, then do what He tells you to do. Make that step. If He's saying to you to be nicer, then be nicer. Well, it doesn't make sense. No one else. I don't care about no one else. Has God spoken to you? Yeah, He has. Then knock it off. Take a step towards what He said. The moment you take that step. Go to Mexico. I don't want to go to Mexico. Go to Mexico. I don't want to go to Mexico. Go to Mexico. I don't like Mexico. Did God tell you to go? Yes, then go to Mexico. Well, I'm going to throw up. Well, you might. Well, I don't like the lice. Neither do I. But would you rather have a nice bed and be out of God's will, or have a few lice and be in the center of God's perfect will? I don't know. Let me think about that. You can always use shampoo and kill those puppies. But you cannot fill the empty heart and the disobedience before God. And you know something? Sometimes God just wants to see where your heart's at. Are you making me go to Mexico? I'm not making you go to Mexico. I just, did God tell you to go to Mexico? Yeah, He told me to go to Mexico. Then please go. Because until you go, you're going to be miserable. Well, I don't, how? Just sign up. You're kidding me. No, sign up. That's all you have to do is sign up. Take a step. Next week, hey, there's a meeting. What do you have to do? Well, did God tell you to go to Mexico? Yeah, go to the meeting. Maybe they're going to cancel it. Well, maybe they will, but you've been obedient. Take a step. Maybe you're upset with your husband and God's saying, love him. Cook him some soup. Cook him some soup. You don't open up a Campbell's soup and throw it in his face and there's your lousy soup sucker. Cook him some soup. Cut the carrots and cut the vegetables and put it in a crock pot and show a little bit of heart. Because when you cut the carrot and you cut the things, God sees the heart and God will honor you. You mean over carrots? Yes. Because you're being obedient to His voice. It's not about the person. It's about the God who you understand. It's not about being obedient to me or to the church or even to your spouse or to your husband or to your friends. It's about being obedient to the God Almighty that you say that you love. Be obedient. Number two, faith has to start. But secondly, once faith starts, it has to sojourn. In verse 9, a willingness to trust. And by faith, he sojourned in the land of promise. As in the strange country, so he's in Canaan, all over the place, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. So Abraham now is trusting God in every situation. He has no idea where he's going. Now listen very carefully. He's not to go build houses and build this and build that. He is to sojourn. He is to be a pilgrim. He is to have a light touch on the things of this earth. He is not to be materialistic. He is to keep himself close to God. Well, where is he going? He doesn't know. What's he going to do? He has no idea. Where is he going to end up? He doesn't know, but for 100 years, he walks this land. You think, oh, give me a break. Well, how many houses did he have? None. Where did he live? Anywhere he wanted. You mean that's what he did? That's what he did. Every place you put your foot down, God's given to you to be an inheritance. And he was faithful. And he taught his sons. And there were a few moments that the famine came and he was disobedient to sojourn. And he went down into Egypt and he got dealt with. But let me show you the contrast of the story. It says that Lot turned his tent towards where? Sodom. And then next it says that Lot dwelt in the houses of Sodom. It's kind of interesting that those things that we throw our lives into are going to burn up. But Abraham was blessed. And so God is going to teach you along this way that it's not about material things. It's about being faithful to the call of God. And when I get possessive, I'm going to miss the voice of God. Now, is there anything wrong with having? Not at all. And I believe that when you are faithful to the call of God, you're going to have. But those who are saying, I got to have a house, I got to have this, I got to have that, that's not what will make you happy. In fact, oftentimes it becomes the greatest trap in your life. The greatest moment of your life is when you're worshiping, singing in your heart, and no material thing has come to your mind, and you love God. In that moment, your heart is filled, and that's what you want all the time. But all of a sudden, we open our eyes and we head towards the material things, and it takes us away. We get distracted. So the key is how to keep my eyes on Jesus Christ. And by doing that, I believe you build his kingdom, God will build your house. God will give you what you want. But you do this first. If you seek this, you're never going to have it. You're going to strive for the rest of your life. And so he sojourned in the land. And so we're to have a light touch. We're not to meander. We're to walk through this earth. And we're not to get the water inside this boat. We're to go through this earth and be part of what God is doing, healing, ministering. But the moment I get the water inside my life, or I get the world inside, and that's exactly what Israel did when they were in Babylon. God took them into Babylon to discipline them, but the problem was they got Babylon inside their heart, and they never got it out, even to this moment. And God didn't want Babylon into their heart. God wanted them to learn another facet of their life. They went from agriculture to finances and everything else in Babylon. But when they came out of Babylon, they had Babylon inside them. The key is to get through this world without the world taking possession of you. Sojourn. And so all of a sudden, I can't go. I have a family. Now, wait a second. Time out. You got to be obedient. And so, yes, you need to build your life. Yes, you need to protect the things that God's given you. But you can't say no to God when God tells you to go. So have a light touch. Always in the back of your mind, put God above everything else in your life. When God speaks, I want to start. When God is moving me, I want to be open to what God wants. Now, should you go out and buy a house? Of course. You don't want to throw your money away. The key is if you can give it away, you can have it. You just don't want to get to a point that I can't leave now because I finally got what I wanted. Or I need more. Well, now wait a second. You are to sojourn. You're a pilgrim. You're to go through this, put a tent, move on. Be careful. Whatever you do. And then finally we find the third thing is a faith with sacrifices, verse 17. And this is kind of interesting. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered his only begotten son. And this is ultimately where I believe that we need to end up. And let me tell you how it works. Very simply, I got this gal, and I'm dating her, and I really like her. And then say this prayer: God, if she's not the one, take her away. No way. No way. I've waited all my life for this gal. I'm not going to pray that prayer. Well, why not? Because God will take her. Then good. Let God take her. No. Let God take her. No. You're going to wish to God you let God take her. Let me tell you. And what a lesson. I was with Pastor Chuck one day, and we were in a situation, and he said, I'm going to put this up for sale. And I think, man, how can you sell this? Most pastors would just covet it. He said, I'm going to sell it. And I said, well, why? Why would you sell it? He said, because I got to give God an opportunity to sell it, to buy it. Because if he doesn't want me to have it, it's going to sell. But if he wants me to have it, it won't sell. I think, oh man, that's too much faith for me. You know, I want it, I covet it, I need it. Well, that's why he has it and I don't. I'm serious. Well, I want that church. Well, I have to have that big church. Well, why don't you have a big church? Because I want a big church. If you want it, you're not going to get it. Because God knows the heart. And when all of a sudden you have it, and my wife and I went through this with our son Nathan, we thought we were going to lose him. I think he was 2, something like that. Might have been older, I forgot. But he had like 1,000 boils all over him. And I knew in my heart everything I ever loved God took from me. And I had this attitude, that God, I give you this, you take it. I give you this, you take it. I give you this, you take it. I ain't giving you my son. That's what I said. And now my son is almost dying, and I see him, and I remember vividly, I was on the floor holding him, crying out to God, and Gail went to bed because she's already given him to God, but I couldn't. It was my most precious moment of my son, and God said, give him to me. And I said, God, if I give him to you, you're going to kill him. And God said, give him to me. At that moment, I had to give him, and God healed him. God doesn't want to hurt you. But the things you're hanging on to are hindering you. And all of a sudden you got this deal and you're going to sign this contract. You're going to make a difference in your life. It's going to get you out of debt. Give it to God. I don't want to. Sacrifice your Isaac. I can say to Kevin, sacrifice the CD. Steve, sacrifice the book. The book on the altar and give it to God, and don't talk about it, don't worry about it, don't push it, just give it to me. See, that's the wisest thing to do. And here's what it's saying, is I start with God, and I hear this voice. I hear this voice. Sometimes it's conviction, sometimes it's just I feel guilty. I know it's God. And I just know in my heart I need to go that way. And maybe I have to say I'm sorry to my wife, or I have to come in and say something to somebody, or I have to change an attitude, or I have to be a little bit strong. I just know this is what God's saying. I got to start. And then as I begin to walk in the ways of God, I need to sojourn. I need to have a light touch. I can't say this is mine. This is my position. This is my pulpit. This is my territory. This is my position. I got to do what God wants me to go. If he wants me in the pulpit, great. If he wants me to help Pastor John, great. If he wants me to help over here, great. If he wants me to help, you know, Mia over here, great. If he wants me to help Joanne or whatever, I just want to help. I want to go where God wants me to go. I want to be a blessing. I want to be like Abraham. But then there does come a time that I have to give back to God. And to me, that's what it means. I got to give back to God. Well, what do I give back to God? The things I love. I got to give back to God my wife. I got to give back to God the book and the church and the things that can really mess me up in my brain. I got to give back to God the fame, the success, whatever. I got to give it back to God. If I don't, then it will take me out. And sometimes, in his love, he'll say, let me have it. And all of a sudden, Abraham said to the servants, "You stay here. I and the ladder are going to go up and we will return." That's a lot of faith. And he went up and he laid his son there and he came up with a knife. And as he was coming down, the angel stopped him. And what did the angel of the Lord said? "Now I know that thou art my what? Friend. Because nothing in your life is more important than me." Jehoshaphat said the same thing concerning Abraham. He is a friend forever. And one of the prophecies, and Isaiah said the very same thing. I think Isaiah 41. Isaiah said that Abraham is thy friend. And James says he is the friend of God, the only man. It says of Job that God liked him, but Abraham had this uniqueness that he was the friend forever with God because God trusted him with his glory. So it starts and God watches. He just watches. Go ahead and do that. Nah, I don't want to do it. Okay. You just missed a blessing. So he comes the next day. Do this. Nah, I don't want to do that. Okay. Treat your wife nice. Nah, she doesn't deserve it. Okay. Just remember, how you judge, you're going to be judged. So, okay, I'll be nice. You're going to take a step toward, I'm going to take a step towards light. Okay, great. You take that step, yep. I'll bless it 100 times. Bam. Wow. Man, you opened that door and you did that? Well, of course. When you're obedient, God blesses. Huh, I like this. Okay, now, don't touch it. Huh? Well, I can't touch it. No, you can't touch it. You're kidding me. I mean, I can have it, but don't touch it. You can't touch it. You can hold it, but you got to give it away. You can't keep it. I don't know if I like this. I like to have and hold and protect and want. And I like to control things. You know, I'm a control freak here. Can't do that. They're not your people. It's not your gift. It's not your glory. You're a quagmire. You're a piece of dirt. Remember? Oh, yeah. Oh, and by the way, when it's all said and done and you're totally blessed, I'd like to have that thing back. Well, what do you want back? You know what I want back. You want it back? I want it back. Right now? Right now. But if I give this to you, my whole life is gone, huh? I want to know who's more important, me or your life. And I guarantee you that God will bring you to that moment. And God will faithfully keep bringing you to that moment till you know in your heart that He is the Lord and the Savior of your life, and He's worthy of all that I have.